morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. Later on in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us as usual, and we're going to be speaking in just a couple of minutes to Joe Good of the Joe Good Performance Group. Right now on the line for the last time during this session, Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte.
How are you doing, and what's happening in these climactic final hours?
Well, the both chambers met kind of late last night. The Senate met till about midnight, and the House, I think, went off about 10, and they're each coming back on the floor today. There are no more committee hearings. It's just hundreds and hundreds of bills on their calendars to be heard. And of course, some of the most important stuff is already done, like the budget, the total $5.6 billion New Mexico budget. The governor has already signed it. He did about $50 million of vetoes, which is nothing. And the big $622 million capital outlay bill, he didn't veto one penny.
Following up on something we talked about last time, the line item that could have threatened to put a dam on the Gila River has been line item vetoed.
Yes, I think a lot of the environmental groups were opposed to that. And it was more about the language, I think, because people want to make sure that all the alternatives are studied for the Gila River.
So we haven't heard much this session about payday lending, but some legislation was passed about that?
Yes, finally. I mean, that is a bill that just passed the Senate after having passed the House yesterday. And there were lots of compromises that had to be made, and this is the final bill, and it does reduce the interest that the payday lenders can charge, and it limits the time frame for people having a loan. Many of the payday lenders say it's going to put them out of business, but I'm sure they'll find a way to keep making money.
And now that there are hundreds of bills that need to be voted on essentially in the next, 24 hours or so?
Yep.
Are we confident that all the legislators are up to date on what all these bills are? I mean, there's not going to be time for debate.
No, there will be some controversial bills that will take a lot of debate. The domestic partner bill is on the calendar of the Senate today, and that would provide full domestic partner benefits for gay or straight couples. That will probably result in a few-hour debate. I didn't see any real controversial bills on the House, but as you know, when it gets into the wee hours of the night, people are really tired, and it's hard to pay attention. So who knows what's going to pass through this session.
Anything else you want to update us about before we go?
I think that's it, and maybe we can do a longer wrap-up where we have some real attention to what actually passed.
That would be terrific. Let's do that next week or the week after. Linda Siegel, thank you so much for your tremendous service on KSFR as well as all the other things you do with this legislative update.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a brief break right now, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Joe Good. Stay tuned.
KSFR programming is underwritten by the historic Santa Fe Southern Railway, who say, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." You're invited to celebrate the Wearing of the Green aboard the Santa Fe Southern Railway on St. Patrick's Day, Saturday, March 17th, 6 to 8 p.m. You can watch the sunset over the beautiful New Mexico High Desert while enjoying a bit of the Irish, and that's no blarney. Reservations and more information at 989-8600 or online at thetraininsantafe.com. KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Garcia Street Books, also a supporter of the Santa Fe Poet Laureate program. Here's a poem by Laureate Arthur Z.
Juniper fires. Juniper fires burn in the crisp night. I am inebriated on juniper smoke, and as my mind clears, I see a white crane standing one-legged in the snow, and see clearly the rocks and shaggy pines, the winter moon and creek.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Zia Diner, serving upscale, down-home comfort food in Santa Fe for 20 years. Celebrating St. Patrick's Day from March 14th through the 17th, with corned beef and cabbage, Irish lamb stew, Culcannon potatoes, Irish whiskey cake, Guinness chocolate cake, a selection of Irish whiskeys, and, of course, Guinness on draft every day. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 326 South Guadalupe Street. See ya at the Zia.
I'd like now to welcome Joe Good. He's the director of the Joe Good Performance Group, and tonight they're performing at the Lensic a couple of pieces called Stay Together, which is by Joe Good and Michael Tilson Thomas, and Deeply There by Joe Good. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, your company is based in San Francisco. This is your 20th anniversary. What are the guiding principles of your company, and how have they evolved over the last couple of decades?
Well, I think the main thing is that we try to do something that's kind of intimate. Rather than doing a spectacle of dance, we really want to do a little kind of showcase of real feelings, real people in real situations. So that sort of sets us apart. Also that we use language and song and other elements, that's why we call ourselves a performance group rather than a dance company. That kind of sets us apart as well. And I think that mission has really stayed the same over 20 years of how do we kind of open a little window, do a little intimate story that will draw people in, allow them to think about their own lives, and leave them that, you know, exiting the theater saying, this idea or this element of the piece is something I want to talk about, rather than saying that Joe Good, he's awesome, which isn't a bad thing to say.
Which I was going to say, that's not the worst thing that you want to hear.
It's not the worst thing that could happen.
Well, I mean, you talk about in some of your writings about making dance on a human scale, and I thought, isn't that funny? Dance is always on a human scale. I mean, that's the great thing about dance. And at the same time, you do these gigantic, way larger than life projections, video projections, which are far outside of human scale. So I wondered what you meant by all that.
Well, human scale to me, I mean, I think dance is often kind of the exotic other, where you're looking at these awesome bodies and these beautiful kind of movements, and you're thinking, that's not me. That's some creature who lived in a little dance studio somewhere and never saw the light of day. It's a hothouse orchid. It's not a normal flower like me. And what we try to do is take some of that myth of other out of the dancing and portray real people.
But so you have trained dancers.
Oh,
you have awesome
dancers.
Oh,
we absolutely do. But we don't make that. The training is not the star of the show. The star of the show is whatever issue or idea we're talking about. So the training is all in service of that, you know, getting that message across. And I think in terms of the larger-than-life projections, I mostly use them as a way of getting close-ups.
Right.
Because I love the intimacy of the face, and I love the expressiveness of that. So it allows the dancers to do a kind of acting that they can't really do when they're, you know, that far away on the stage. But when they can have that close-up projection of their face, then they can actually be very subtle and very truthful, and you get a sense of someone really talking to you.
I was thinking about it when I was watching the DVD of that performance, because there's such a difference in the way you need to act as a stage actor and the way you need to act as a film actor.
Mm-hmm.
One of them you have to be much bigger, and one of them you can be very subtle. And you're kind of doing both at the same time. Your dancers have to sort of jump back and forth.
They do. They have to jump back and forth, and that's part of the skill, because when you're dancing, you want those movements to be legible, and you want them to be exciting. And that is larger than life. And then when you're in front of that camera, you have to have a kind of available intimacy, a reality. And that's, so it's two different sides of the brain. And, but we work on that a lot. I think they do an amazing job.
Do they, in the process of rehearsal, do you videotape the whole thing and they can see how they come across on the video projection?
Yeah, we do a lot of videotaping. And yes, we have many methods of recording ourselves and watching ourselves back and kind of nuancing things and realizing that that's too much or that's not enough or that's not clear and how do we fix it.
You know, in the whole history of dance, this is the first era in which people have been able to rehearse through watching themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different from, you know, ballet and modern dance really up through the 1980s and 90s.
Well, you know, I think that technology can do two things. It can create a veil of inaccessibility where you're just doing all the cerebral kind of heady stuff, but it also can provide access. It also can make a really intimate performance environment where people are talking to each other and you're getting these intimate glimpses of real people. I tend to use it for the latter. But it requires a lot of setup, a lot of rehearsal. We have so much junk in our studio. I mean, video cameras and audio equipment. We use a lot of mics. And, you know, we have a lot of live feeds. We have live cameras and pre-recorded feed. And so it's a complicated setup.
We're talking to Joe Good, and his performance group is going to be tonight at the Lensic at 7:30, doing a couple of pieces. Let's talk about the piece Stay Together by you and Michael Tilson Thomas. Now, Michael Tilson Thomas, musical director of the San Francisco Symphony, what's his role in this piece?
Well, you know, Michael's a great maestro and a brilliant man and has conducted orchestras all over the world, and his approach to his work is he wants to keep trying new things, experimenting. And he actually approached me and said, let's do something together. He liked the way that I kind of had this intimate dialogue with the audience, and he wanted to try it. And so we worked together on finding some kind of musical vocabulary that would work, that would be accessible to me and my dancers. I didn't want to do anything too symphonic, and he was willing to, you know, try lots of different things. And so we just kept kind of chipping away at it. He was also very involved with the writing of the text.
Is that right?
Story. Oh, yeah. He wanted to be involved in the whole thing. He's quite a storyteller and really interested in that part of it. So we sat together and developed this theme of stay together. Stay together in kind of its broadest meaning of how do you stay together in a relationship? How do you stay together with your idea about what's good and what's bad? How do you stay together with a community, with a nation? I mean, all these things, they're sort of up for most citizens of America right now, really struggling with who are we, how do we live a moral life, an ethical life. But I think really the relationship thing is probably the biggest through line. The main character is a single woman who's approaching a certain age, and the kind of the stigma.
And she has a great line. It's like, I can call myself middle-aged, but nobody else can.
Exactly. and she's kind of the guide through the piece. And she's struggling with the idea of, can I really live a life alone in a society where that's not okay? Do I have the courage to do that? Do I even want to do that? How do we navigate those waters?
When I was watching it, I was wondering whether the piece was created with that particular performer in mind, with that woman in mind.
Well, she has been working with me for 20 years. Her name is Liz Bird, and she's an amazing performer. And so almost all of my pieces are created with her in mind, just because of that fact. But I think also there are some particular issues. She's getting married. Her husband lives in Chicago. There's some big kind of shifts going on there with her and the company. And so it's kind of a personal story in a way of how do we stay together, you know, artistically. So it was fun to kind of walk that line between reality and fantasy, which we often do in our work. It's because we want the topics to be personal. We want them to be felt. You know, we often draw from our own lives.
Well, I should hope so.
Yes.
It's also interesting because I've never really, I didn't know what, I suppose people looking at it don't quite know what genre to place this in. Is it primarily dance? Is it primarily theater?
It's a hard one to categorize. You know, I've been called performance art, I've been called dance, I've been called theater. We perform a lot in theater festivals in Europe and outside of the U.S. We're pretty much considered theater. But in the U.S., we tour mostly as a dance company, so it's kind of choose the one that works for you. I've never understood why dance had to be a mute art form. That's
right.
Never made sense to me. I think that anybody who has a sensitivity and the kind of creativity to express themselves physically, you can add a little vocality to that. You can add a little language to that. It's not going to overtax the system. I mean, none of us are going to go out and do Shakespeare, but can we speak? Can we be ourselves? Can we be truthful? Can we, you know, make a sound? Of course we can. So my goal kind of as a dance maker has always been to say, we can do this. We can talk. We can stretch these limitations. And I have a real appetite for language, and I really love it. So it's not sort of just an experiment to see if I can do it. I actually really love to do it. So I just basically finally said, I'm going to take all of my, all the things that I like to do, act, dance, write, sing, I'm going to put them all in. I'm not going to leave any of them out. And maybe people are going to hate it. Maybe people are going to, you know, throw tomatoes at us. But quite the opposite happened, actually. When I started making those kind of adjustments to my work, I started getting invited to festivals all over the world, and the company took off.
Now, you started doing this at the get-go, or that came in as...
Well,
over the course of time,
that came in pretty early, but I was a late bloomer. I mean, I had a whole career as a dancer in New York, and I was, you know, dancing in a pair of hot pants and being a hothouse orchid.
In modern dance company and
in
musical theater.
In modern dance and in musical theater, I did both. And although I loved that, I always felt like, you know, I'm a child of the '60s, and I thought, how do I change the world with this? Being a prince in a pair of tights, I don't see how I changed the world with this. And so I really wanted to find a way to speak about things that were more contemporary with my life, you know, topics that I thought were interesting, and really get people to think and engage in some kind of at least a philosophical dialogue about things. So language is kind of a natural place for me to go, to bring that in. And then at first I thought I would just write plays. But I missed the movement so much. It was so much a part of who I was. And so I thought, well, can I really have both? Everyone's telling me I can't. You know, the dance scene in New York in the 70s was, you know, shut up and dance. And don't show us how you feel. We just want to see the lines and the shapes. And so I was really going against the grain. But little did I know, there were other people going against the grain all around the world, and we were all kind of doing it at the same time, but we just didn't know each other, you know.
It's sort of your classic shift from modern to postmodern.
Yeah, it is. It is, really. Yeah.
We're talking to Joe Good. Now, songs are also integrated into your work.
Yes.
Do you have to sing to be part of the... Do you have to be able to sing on tune to be part of the Joe Good performance
group?
Some
of us just love singing, and so it kind of came in naturally, and some of us don't. There's a couple of people who really don't like to sing, and I don't make them do anything they don't want to do. They don't feel like their voices are strong enough. And so some of us sing and some of us don't. You know, when we work with somebody like MTT, Michael Tilson Thomas, and he knew that we sang, and he brought in, you know, another dimension of we're going to sing. And I think he was delighted to find out that we were willing to try anything. So it's definitely an element that I like, again, because it's kind of a heart thing, singing, using the voice. We do a lot of little a cappella harmonies, things like that. It adds a kind of sweetness to the work that I like. And again, accessibility, which is important to me.
I was wondering, with the dance and the theater component, how you think about which one sort of is the dominant, or are they really fully integrated with one another? I mean, is it dance illustrating a story? Is it a story illustrating dance?
I don't think of it that way. I really think of, here are all my materials, like I'm going to make a collage, and I have my grandmother's shoe, and I have a picture from the New York Times, and I have, you know, some grass from my front yard, and I'm going to use these materials to make something personal, to make something that really is felt and vibrant. And I have movement materials, and I have vocal materials, I have language, sometimes we use sound, I have video, I have media, you know, so there's so many different materials that I can use. I don't, literally, the kitchen sink can come in if it works.
Did you, when you started adding the theatrical component of it, did you study the works of our great playwrights, for example, to see how a play is crafted?
To some degree. I mean, I actually, when I was in high school, I was in a ballet company, and I became disenchanted with being a prince in tights and wanted to try something else. And so I went to theater school and majored in theater, and playwriting actually was my emphasis. So I have studied a lot of playwriting, and I have studied a lot of other theatrical forms, experimental forms, and I think that all shows in my work. I mean, that's all kind of in there somewhere. So that's part of my experience, and certainly, you know, I've been dancing since I was 7 years old, so it's a real mixture of those two things.
Now, one of the themes in the piece Stay Together is the the stages of life and aging, and certainly that's always a theme for dancers who are rewarded when they're young and often thrown out when they're older.
Yes. And my company is an older company in the sense that we're not 20. Well, I am, but the rest of them are.
And have been for some time.
For some many years. I really like working with mature people who have life experience. If we're going to get up there and talk about real people, then we kind of have to be real people. And that requires having had life experience. And I also like the maturity of a dancer who knows how to use their body in a refined way and isn't just trying to push it out all the time. It's very physically challenging what we do. A lot of partnering, a lot of lifting, a lot of, throwing each other around. It's taxing on the body, and we've all had the knee surgeries and the shoulder surgeries, and we're athletes. So it's balancing those two things is tough. And whenever somebody new comes into the company who's a little younger, there's that period of adjustment of, kind of coaching them and getting them
hazing?
Ready.
No.
Yeah, there's the hazing that has to happen. We try to not overburden somebody when they first come in, but because there is a lot of things to learn with the language and the movement and the singing, and let them go where they feel most comfortable, and then sort of bring the rest in gradually and slowly. And works
but
pretty well.
You're also a professor of dance at the University of California at Berkeley, and having spoken about mature dancers with life experience, you're teaching the youth as well.
Teaching the kids, yeah. Well, I actually love that too. I taught a class here yesterday in Santa Fe for high school kids, and I absolutely love doing that. The thing about that youthful perspective is it's so full of hope and energy. They really think they can do anything, and as a result, they can do pretty amazing things. And that's really fun to work with. Would I want to have someone like that in my company? Probably not. But to groom them for that possibility is, absolutely thrilling to me. And Berkeley, our department is theater, dance, and performance studies, so it really is an interdisciplinary program. So I don't have to pretend to be just a dancer. I really get to talk to them about how do you interface these materials, how do you take media, how do you take language, how do you take a script, and movement, and put all these elements together. So I get to kind of teach them what I do, which I love.
Now, the second piece you're doing tonight is called Deeply There. It's a revival of an older piece.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that piece.
Well, Deeply There is a piece that we had a lot of success with. I think we made it in 98. Toured it to New York in 99 and won a Bessie, which is a New York Performance Award. And it's a piece that we've traveled around the country with quite a bit. The thing that I love about it is it's a real story. A lot of my work, as I think I said before, is sometimes like a meditation on a subject.
Right.
This is actually a real story. There are six people who are helping someone die. And although that sounds like a sort of a depressing story, it's really about the various personalities who come together. It's the dying man's very conservative sister and his gay lover and his wacky friends, and they're all trying to coexist in his apartment and help him through this process, and the personalities really clash, and there's all sorts of, issues that arise. And it's kind of a little musical. That one really has a lot of music in it.
A lot of singing.
I'm just really fond of it. It's one of my favorite pieces. Because it's a way of looking at death, looking at, that moment as, yes, it's frightening and it's full of feeling, but it's also hilarious. It's off the charts, the things that come up that happen in the moment. Life is never just one thing. It's never just dark or light. There's that complexity, and we really embrace that in that piece, and I think these people who are very, very different kind of come together and learn that they do have something in common, and there is a way to at least look at each other. I play the gay man's lover, the dying man's lover, and Liz, the woman we mentioned earlier, place's very conservative sister who comes back from Minnesota to tell us all that we're doing it wrong. And in the end, we end up getting drunk on a sofa, and we do a sofa dance where we're falling over the sofa drunk, drinking tequila. There's a pathway to finding each other. There's a pathway to understanding, and I think that's kind of what the piece is about. So it's really kind of a joyous piece, ultimately.
And that all is tonight at the Lensic at 7:30. Joe Good of the Joe Good Performance Group, thank you so much for being with us today on this Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
It's a great pleasure. And tickets over at the Lensic are 988-1234. Stay tuned. We're going to hear from our beloved underwriters for just a moment, and Robert Knott will be with us in just a second.
The Santa Fe Art Institute presents the 2007 season of Visiting Artists, Comfort Zone, Artist as Activist. SFAI is proud to bring a selection of activist artists to Santa Fe to engage the community in conversation through lectures and masterclass workshops. World-renowned conceptual artist Hans Hacke will present his lecture Show and Tell, March 19th, 6 p.m. at Tipton Hall. For more information, call 424-5050 or visit sfai.org. Santa Fe Art Institute is a tax-exempt organization.
The landmark dance theater company, the Joe Good Performance Group, comes to the Lensic on Friday, March 16th at 7:30 p.m. Known for its marriage of multimedia and high-velocity movement, the group will present a new work entitled Stay Together, featuring a score by Michael Tilson Thomas, as well as Deeply There, Stories of a Neighborhood, the riveting piece which explores the AIDS crisis. Call 988-1234 for tickets or more information. The Lensic is a nonprofit organization.
Hi, this is Steve Terrell. I'd like to invite you to the Santa Fe Opry. That's 10 to midnight Friday night on KSFR. We play the country music that Nashville does not want you to hear. Country music like the good Lord intended it to sound. So come to KSFR for the Santa Fe Opry Friday nights at 10 o'clock.
It's a world of diversity on KSFR.
And KSFR's own Laurel Reynolds will be a guest on that program tonight. So keep your radio tuned all day and all night to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He's associate editor of the Pasa Tiempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and is here with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Good. I'm turning over a new leaf today.
A new leaf?
Yes.
Well, I have a leaf in my hand. That is to say, a piece of paper that says, and I'm quoting.
No, don't say nothing about that. It's just a note I got.
It's a note from somebody saying how much he enjoys your articles and your radio spot on Friday mornings.
Put that stuff away. That's embarrassment.
What? You got fan mail.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day one day early to
everybody out
there. It's St. Patrick's birthday, huh?
I don't know if it's his birthday. Is it his birthday?
Well, I don't know, but happy birthday
to him. It's
a saint
day. Lots of people born on this birthday are named Patrick.
Today or tomorrow, anytime over the weekend. Happy birthday to everybody. Happy birthday, St. Patrick's. What a character that guy is. This is a strange thing to start off with, but Shantala is taking place at 8 o'clock Saturday night. I mean, that's St. Patrick's Day, but Shantala is going to be offering an evening of kirtan, which is devotional chanting. And it's really a couple of performers under the name of Shantala, and they're going to be performing at 8 p.m. at Spandarama. I don't make this stuff up. Shantala at Spandarama.
That's a yoga studio.
Yeah, yoga. So it's sort of yoga tied into yoga. It's 8 p.m. on Saturday, 815A Early Street, across from Tiny's Restaurant. Here's a phone number, 989-1288. So there you go. We're not allowed to say prices on the show, so I don't know if there's a price or not, but there you have it. Remember when Elvis Presley sang that song, Yoga Is As Yoga Does? He did some song about yogas in one of those movies that wasn't so good. Let me see. Hans Hacke is going to be talking at the Santa Fe Art Institute on March 19th, which is what night of the week?
Monday.
That's at 6 p.m. at Tipton Hall on the College of Santa Fe campus. It's pretty cheap to get in. When I say pretty cheap, it's usually like $1 per finger. It's less than five fingers on one hand. So anyway, Hans Hacke, Santa Fe Art Institute. Elizabeth Cook Romero interviewed him for today's Pasatiempo, if you wish to pick it up and look. And our cover story is about Joe Good, who you just had on the show.
Right.
That sounded great.
Yeah, yeah.
He left a half-eaten muffin under my seat, but he picked it up and took it away, which I thought was nice of him.
I hope he ate it.
Well, dancers are always looking at their feet, so that makes sense. So, Joe Good, tonight at 7:30, right?
Yes.
All right.
That series of non sequiturs was stunning.
Not to mention incandescent. Anyway, there's some stage stuff happening this weekend. Bent is over at the Santa Fe Performing Arts. Martin Sherman's play about love in a concentration camp. My review ran in today's PASA. 7:30 p.m. shows. Theater Work has scenes from an execution continuing for two weekends. It's a drama about war, art, life in 16th century Venice. That's Step Theater Work, 471-1799. My review ran in today's PASA. Shows are also at 7:30 p.m. And then Glengarry Glen Ross opens tonight with a gala reception. That's at 8 o'clock. It's a champagne reception, a little more expensive than the usual run. Three-weekend run. Sunday shows are 2 p.m., and they are pay what you wish. I can say that about the matinees on Sunday. Otherwise, you've got to pay to get to the 8 o'clock shows. It's at the Santa Fe Playhouse on DeVargas Street. The phone number is 988-4262. And many people may know this David Mamet play from the movie version.
I saw the movie version. I have not seen a rehearsal of our Santa Fe stage version, but the script and the execution of the movie are stunning.
Yeah, so I'm going to go see
it. It's not a happy movie or play.
No, it's not. Actually, I mean, when you look at these three plays that are in the town right now, Bent and Glengarry Glen Ross and Scenes from an Execution, I wouldn't call any of them happy,
no.
Although Scenes from an Execution actually has a great sense of humor and has it's got a very interesting finale. So all these things are occurring, as well as Joe Good. And Jack Halton is coming to town for two nights to do a one-person Samuel Beckett play called Crap's Last Tape, 7:30 p.m. Also, there seems to be this movement towards 7:30 shows at night.
Yeah, the Joe Good performance is at 7:30 also.
I wonder if that reflects on, like, no offense meant, audience getting older and not wanting to stay out so late.
I think it's really a conspiracy to not let us eat a good dinner. Because we don't have time. Seven o'clock shows are even worse. Ladies and gentlemen, do not do your shows at 7 o'clock. It means you don't have time to eat.
I know that some people try Sundays doing a 6 o'clock show, and it just never seems to work. They think, like, oh, people will come in and go get a 7:30 dinner. But people usually want to eat between, like, 5 and 7. Don't you agree?
As far as I'm concerned, I like to eat at 7.
I said between 5 and 7.
But that implies that you're done by 7.
No,
I'd like to eat
starting
to eat. Oh, starting to eat. Yeah, I'd like to start to eat between 6 and 9.
So if you're eating at 7 and the show's 7:30, what are the odds you're going to get there?
That's my point.
I see. There's a lot of visual arts openings this weekend. The C Gallery. It's just a C. It's not
like the letter C or S-E-A?
Yeah, it's the letter C. Under the C. Remember that song? Under the C. Remember that was a fun song? What was that show? Something to do with a lobster or something. The C Gallery has an opening of glasswork by Carrie Gustafson and Orfeo Quagliata. I checked the spelling of this, as well as the pronunciation. 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. The show runs through April 22nd. Where? C Gallery. 708 Canyon Road. That's like an Abbott Costello scene. Do you see the gallery, Costello? What gallery? C Gallery. Of course I see the gallery. How could I not? It's hilarious. The C Gallery has a phone number, 988-1221. Meanwhile, Goldleaf Gallery, 627 West Alameda Street, has, quote, Fruit d'Amour, end quote. Paintings by Bruce Gehrman. That's a reception at 5:30 p.m. Sounds like some fruit in love, but that can happen. I could see apples and oranges getting together and bananas cohabitating with avocados.
Frutti di amore.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's Italian.
Well.
Amore, amore.
That's amore. Don't even get me started. The show runs through April 18th, and they can be reached at 988-5005. Meanwhile, down on Palace Avenue, Lou Allen Contemporary has a group show, Invitational Glass Show, reception 5:30 to 7:30 through April 1st. I miss Arlena Lou Allen. She was a great lady. I used to love going over there to chat with her. I just started thinking about her again. She was a good lady. Verve Fine Arts on Marcy Street has Primordial Seas. In this case, it's not a C with an apostrophe and S. You spell out Seas.
S-E-A-S?
If it's a C that you have water in instead of
okay, just
see the C.
Just trying to clarify.
You certainly are. Photos by Douglas L. Etheridge. Paul Weideman wrote about him in today's Pasta Tiempo. Some beautiful photos. Reception 5 to 7 p.m. The show runs through May 1st. Verve has a few other artists in there as well tonight, just so you know. Stephen Strom's Lightforms/Earthforms. There's also photos by Lynn Gieseman and Elliot Porter in that little side room, that Russick and Steinbaum room. So a lot happening at Verve down on 219 East Marcy Street. Across from the old and soon-to-be-new Santa Fe, New Mexican. We hope to move back in there this summer, down at 202 East Marcy. I got to mention an opening at the Tropic of Capricorn, because I myself am a Capricorn. And you know what they say about Capricorns?
Isn't that what I am?
That's what I say. That's what I said.
No, I know. What's my... I think I'm also... am I Capricorn? I think so. Anyway, go ahead.
The Tropic of Capricorn is having an opening called Collaboration in Art at 1 p.m. Sunday, March 18th. And what's going to happen there is Gene and Ernie Peterson are going to talk about their inspiration and co-creation of custom birdhouses. Now, look, everything's an art form. I don't like to put nothing like this down. I like birds as well as the next guy. And the next guy happens to be my cat, who really likes birds. But custom birdhouses. What do you make of that? Wait, custom made? I mean, does the sparrows call up and say, you know, we'd like a specific birdhouse, or the pigeons can't get in?
Maybe they want. Maybe it's for people to make birdhouses that match the house they live in. Or maybe it's birdhouses that attract specific birds and not other birds. I don't know.
Well, to find out, go out and hear Gene and Ernie Peterson talk at 1 p.m. Sunday at Tropic of Capricorn out there on Old Las Vegas Highway. 86 Old Las Vegas Highway, right near Harry's Roadhouse. There's also going to be an exhibit of artistic birdhouses and paintings by Gene and Ernie Peterson called Bluebirds and Aspens. That show runs through April 11th. So the reception's at 2. The chat is at 1. You interested in bluebirds or aspens? There'll be bluebirds over the aspens of clover. Out at the Tropic of Capricorn. Meanwhile, in the subheading of the odd, the offbeat, and other stuff, Friday Night Blues is tonight at 9 p.m. This is where you can dance with your partner to blues dancing at Studio East on Camino del Monte Sol. Very cheap to get in. 920-0330, 9 o'clock. Annette Barnett. What a terrific name.
That's a great name.
That's like Annette Barnett. I don't know what kind of grief she had with her name. Like, my name, not. I'm getting grief with that still to this day. I go over to see that guy that runs, he's got the sandwich place on off Cordova. I think it's called Backstreet Bistro. Every time I see him, he's like, what not? I mean, always. I'm 47 years old. I got to listen to the knot jokes still. But anyway, Annette Barnett, you've got a beautiful name. And she's going to be talking about her book, One World, Many People, Anthropology Made Fun for Kids. And not only will she talk, but there'll be hands-on activities for kids from 10:30 to 1 p.m. Saturday at Horizons, the Discovery Store, which is at 328 Guadalupe Street, 10:30 to 1. Good thing for the kids. Annette Barnett, One World, Many People, Anthropology Made Fun for Kids. What's the difference between anthropology and archaeology?
Anthropology is the study of human beings, and archaeology is the study of their artifacts.
Huh.
Hey, tonight at Salsas y Son, DJ Timbalero is going to be DJing salsa. And that is from, well, there's a free dance lesson at 8:30 and then open dancing from 9:30 on. And I can tell you personally that DJ Timbalero is a great DJ.
That's terrific. As we talked about earlier, it's St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, and there's an art show and a pet parade, of all things, at the Casa Solana Shopping Center.
Yay!
This is to celebrate the Santa Fe Artist Market beginning their new season. So I guess they're going to set up over in Casa Solana, 901 West Alameda Street, which has the laundromat where I do my laundry, by the way. And they're doing that tomorrow from 9 to 2. So there'll be an art show, live music, and a pet parade. I hope the little pets don't wander out into traffic there in Alameda, because there's scary over there. The Human Rights Alliance is holding their 13th annual GAYLA, G-A-Y-L-A, fundraiser. And this is a benefit for the Human Rights Alliance. And that's taking place at 5:30 p.m. Saturday at the El Dorado Hotel downtown at 309 West San Francisco Street. You do got to pay to get in. They're going to have a performance by Christine W. and a keynote address by former New Jersey Governor James McGreevy. Cocktails, food, live and silent auctions, music. Have fun. 9881234 if you are interested. What time is it?
8:46.
Did we talk about the Soul of Santa Fe benefit concert that also takes place Saturday night? That's at 7 o'clock at the Santa Fe Brewing Company. There's performances by La Junta, Crazy Fool, Sapphire. Isn't that a great name, Sapphire? Tim Reynolds, and all proceeds are going to benefit Fine Arts for Children and Teens programs in Santa Fe schools. What more can we say about that terrific Let's Get Some Art Into Our Kids' Minds, Hearts, and Hands program? 424-3333. Once again, you got to pay to get in. I can't tell you prices, but it's cheaper for students.
So I've got an email here from the Hillary Smith, and the GTs are having a couple of shows this weekend. Tonight at the El Dorado Hotel Lounge, starting at 8 o'clock. It's their debut at the El Dorado. And then tomorrow night they'll be in Taos at the Taos Inn. Very special guest, Mark Clark, will be on drums.
What's the name? Hillary?
Hillary Smith and the GTs.
Sometimes if I don't drink for like 3 or 4 days, I get the GDTs. Kendall or Versailles, Versace, is going to read at 7 p.m. Thursday as part of Southwest Literary Center of Recursos de Santa Fe's program at the Writer's Room, which is at 826 Camino del Monte Rey. Suggested donation, very cheap, 577-1125, 7 p.m. Thursday. Meanwhile, 7 p.m. Tuesday, Debbie Brody and Lauren Camp are going to read poetry over at Theater Work.
And they're going to be on my show on Tuesday.
To promote the program that night?
Yeah, yeah. Read some poetry on the show as well.
Because to have them the next day wouldn't help, would it?
That's correct.
Huh. Okay. Lynn Pomeroy.
You are so chronologically aware.
What do you mean chronologically? I've been being very nice this morning.
I
had two cups of coffee. I only get chronological when I don't have coffee and I go in kind of cranky. Lynn Pomerantz is going to sign copies of her book, Among Wild Horses, a portrait of the Prior Mountain Mustangs, 9 to 2 p.m. Sunday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the San Marcos Cafe out on New Mexico 14, 471-9298, no charge. And that's a nice place to go get a bite to eat, by the way. And they got the little ducks in the bird. Did you ever go there and there's like the little... Like you're waiting and there's almost like an informal petting zoo there because there's ducks and stuff.
Oh.
That's nice.
That's nice.
And then you go in and have breakfast and there's duck on your plate. Hey, in the Bring the Kids field, it's family skate night Wednesday night at Rock and Rollers out on Agua Fria Street. So Wednesday night, you're looking for something to do. It's not quite the weekend. It's past Monday. You got the midday blues, the midweek blues. Maybe you got all sorts of blues. Who knows? Bring the kids and go out to the Rock and Rollers.
Hey, on Tuesday night, Poets Night, Collected Works Bookstore actually presents a poetry reading by Stanley Noyes and Michael L. Johnson. That's 7 o'clock on Tuesday at Collected Works Bookstore on San Francisco, across from the Lensic.
Oh, yes, it's Poets Night. Oh, what a night. Preschool story time. This is great for those people out there that have children. You don't know what to do with the children, and they're driving you nuts. And 10:30 a.m. Tuesday morning, you're home with a 2 to 3 year old. Maybe you're a babysitter with a 2 to 3 year old. And they're going to have preschool story time. So you bring them over there to Llano Street's Lafarge Library, 1730 Llano Street, off of St. Michael's. And they'll tell stories. If you're 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years old, these stories are good for you. I'm going to try to break away from work that morning and go hear maybe a little story about a bunny. Anyway, call 955-4863. It's totally free. Preschool story time on Tuesday.
Hey, I'm going to plug it one more time. The film Expiration Date is playing this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 5:30 in the afternoon, and then Wednesday of next week at 7:45, and a great comedy. You thought it was okay. I thought it was fabulous. But it's at the Santa Fe Film Center, the former Cinema Cafe. Great couches.
I think it starts out terrific and slowly wears down to become okay. But
I think it's great from beginning to end.
Oh, see, we caught the real side of you. The Knee-High Naturalist Club is offering outdoor activities for those 3 to 5 year olds, plus their parents. This is 10 a.m. Wednesday at the Randall Davey Audubon Center. I'm just trying to help out people that have kids that say to me, tell us more about things to do with children. So on Tuesday morning, there's preschool story time. And on Wednesday morning, you can go for hikes up at the Randall Davey Audubon Center. Upper Canyon Road, very cheap per family. Here's a phone number because you've got to make reservations. 983-4609. One more time because just now you're reaching for the pad and paper. You're barely out of bed. You shouldn't be reaching for pen and paper if you're barely out of bed. 983-4609. There's lots of music happening this week. Can we talk about some of it?
Yeah, but first I want to mention that the film Rhodes Scholar, which is by Andre Codrescu, and which has a little section that features Santa Fe.
It certainly does.
Is screening at the Santa Fe Film Center on Monday, this coming Monday, the 19th, at 7 o'clock. And that's a benefit, isn't it?
For Warehouse 21.
For Warehouse 21.
It's a very interesting movie, and it holds up very well, although the scenes in Santa Fe are kind of hilariously dated. But
yes, they are, but it's still a great movie. We tried to get Andre Codrescu on the air, but he's in Romania right now.
That's where he's from.
I know. That's where he is right now. Otherwise, he'd be on the air.
Did you know Transylvania is in Romania?
Yes.
Is that why it rhymes?
No.
Another movie I want to mention, it's in my film column today, is Absolute Wilson. If you were interested in theater, this is a documentary on this crazy theater maker, Robert Wilson, more well-known in Europe than here in America. It's opening at the Screen this weekend. Look at my big picture column for information. Elvis Perkins in Deerland. They're going to play at the College of Santa Fe Sub. Students Union Building. That's on 1600 St. Michael's Drive. And they're going to play, and I didn't write down any of the information. This happens. I do this. I'm really sorry. I do have a phone number. 473-6217. Meanwhile, Anavon teams up with Help to perform at 9 p.m. Tuesday at High Mayhem Studios. Wouldn't you know it, I have all the information. 1703B, Lena Street. Got to pay to get in. The Gingerbread Patriots. They played 8 p.m. Wednesday, also at the College of Santa Fe Sub, and I have this information. Their guests are October People in Denver's The Hot IQs. 473-6217. What's IQ stand for? Identity?
Intelligence quotient.
Did you ever take one?
Probably as a kid in school. I don't know.
So how do people get those numbers? When they walk around, they say, hello, my name's Johnny, and my IQ is, 147.
Well, either they went back to their elementary school and got their test scores, or they get retested as adults, which isn't really that accurate.
Do you think they tested me and I forgot my number?
I am sure of it. Hey, tomorrow on Camp Love Wave, CIA encounter at the camp. Two former CIA officers will revisit Camp Love Wave to discuss the Scooter Libby verdict, possible war with Iran and the Palestinian situation, and there will be call-ins during the show. Camp Love Wave is Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock right here on KSFR.
Scooter's a good name for a dog. David Bromberg and the Angel Band are playing at 7:30 p.m. Thursday at the Lenzic. 988-1234. David Prince did an interview with David Bromberg in today's Pasa Tiempo. And I'm sure with the Irish weekend that Jerry Carthy's got to be playing out there somewhere, and I'll try to find out about that while I list a few other listings that have to do with music. What time is it?
8:54.
The Three Faces of Jazz are at Chispa de El Mason tonight at 8 p.m. There's no cover. Sister Mary and the Bad Habits at El Farol at 9:30 p.m., and there is no cover. Mosaic Dance Company, I'd love to see them with no cover. They're going to be belly dancing at 6 p.m. at the Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision. That's no cover tonight. There is no cover. That's terrific. Last Call are going to do rock and roll at the Tin Star tonight at 9:30 p.m. There is a cover charge. And the Albuquerque Blues Connection is going to do Willie's Blues Club at 9:30 p.m. tonight. No cover. Jerry Carthy, as it turns out, is at Brumby's Pub and Grill on St. Patty's Day, doing Irish music from 7 to 10 p.m. So good for him. He's at Cafe Dominic tonight at 6 p.m., no cover. Antonio Mendoza is going to play Spanish guitar at 6 p.m. at Los Mayos, no cover. And the Jakes are going to do classic rock down at the Mineshaft Tavern in Madrid on Saturday night, 8 o'clock, no cover. And I should mention Second Street Brewery is having a St. Patty's Day celebration. It starts with a 1 p.m. sing-along. I hope they do Danny Boy. I never sing that one for you, but I always want to. It's a strange song because it's a guy singing to another guy. And I wonder if it's supposed to be a girl singing to a guy. And I don't care if two guys are singing to each other. But who's the guy in the grave that's singing to Danny Boy? And he's like, and I'll be here in sunshine.
Don't even sing it to me. It makes me sad. It's a sad song.
Okay. So St. Patty's Day, Second Street Brewery. The Hot Club of Santa Fe is doing swing there at 8 p.m. There's a bagpipe concert at 3. I thought the bagpipes were from Scotland.
There's Irish pipes and Scottish pipes.
Do the Irish people wear skirts?
You'll have to ask the Irish people.
Okay. No, New Mexican residents, you can go to museums free on Sunday. Some museums. The Museum of Fine Arts. They have several shows up, including Georgia O'Keeffe's Legacy in New Mexico and the Art and Artifice of Science, as well as an exhibit on Gustav Bauman, the puppet maker. Museum of Fine Arts on Palace Avenue. New Mexico residents, you can go for free on Sunday. You can also go to the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture and the Museum of International Folk Art up on Museum Hill. Again, both have several exhibitions going. Check the Pasa Tiempo calendar listings to find out exactly what's happening at the museums. And on Sundays, get out and exercise your right to go to the museums free.
And at Gig Performance Space on 2nd Street, Friday night, Ralph Alessi and This Against That. Ralph, being a trumpet player from New York, and his band features Ravi Coltrane on saxophone. That's John Coltrane's son. Andy Milne on piano, etc., etc. And that's at Gig at 8 o'clock on tonight, this Friday night.
What if I change the words and I go, oh, Mary Charlotte, the pipes are blowing. from Santa Fe to Raton and further north. Your audience, they think you're really beautiful, but they wish you would kind of brush me off.
You know, Saint the world Patty's divides Day. Between those who love you just the way you are and those who complain. And luckily, those who love you just the way you are in the vast majority. But that little vocal minority continues to...
Be vocal. But the nice thing is I can come on here and tell everybody to be peaceful this weekend for St. Patty's Day. Be careful.
That's right.
Don't drink and drive.
And speaking of being peaceful, there's quite a bit of peace activity going on, a 24-hour peace vigil from tonight until tomorrow at Santa Maria de la Paz Church in Santa Fe. And a peace rally tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Roundhouse. There's also stuff going on in Albuquerque. So all that and much, much more, ladies and gentlemen. Robert Knott is associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Art Supplement in the Santa Fe New Mexican. And he's here every Friday, just about, speaking of the arts. And I find it delightful to have you here.
Thank you.
And have a good weekend. Be happy. Be peaceful. Wear your seatbelt. Don't drink and drive. And pat your dog. Have a wonderful weekend, Robert. And we'll see you next week.
You too, lady.
Ciao.